This episode of Voices of the Elephant is brought to you by EngineYard, the leading platform as a service. Our Orchestra PHP platform is the easiest way for you to deploy scalable PHP apps in the cloud. And we love the PHP community.
Welcome to the Voices of the Elephant podcast. Each episode of Voices of the Elephant brings you an interview with a member of the PHP community. From project leaders to user group organizers, we talk to the people that are helping make the PHP community special. Hi, we're here today, and my special guest today is Joe Devon. Say hi to Joe.
Hello.
Joe, you are in Los Angeles, and you are part of the leadership for the LA PHP group. Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct.
Awesome. I've been down there. Haven't been down there in a while, but we were down there for CodeWorks a few years ago and had a great time with you guys. So I'm looking forward to finding a reason to make it back down to LA just to be with y'all.
Yeah.
Okay, well, let's launch right in. First question.
Yes.
You were recently involved in the Global Accessibility Awareness Day. I want you to tell us what that is and how it turned out for you.
Okay. It actually turned out great. What it really was is I just wrote a simple little blog post saying that basically developers and designers are unaware of accessibility, about what it's like for people that have screen readers and other disabilities to surf the web. And so I just wrote a little blog post and expected nothing to come of it whatsoever. And this fellow named Jennison read it on Twitter or saw the blog post on Twitter. And he shoots me a note and he says, "Hey, that's a great idea. Now you got to do it." And so basically it was written November 27th. Just picked a day, out of my hat and said, "Hey, let's do this May 9th. And, neither of us had any time, but we just said, okay, we have a date, we got to do it. And so the two of us just did like this grassroots thing, and it turned out to be like this global day that just like, I mean, I could have never imagined. I just thought everybody would ignore it like every other blog post. So, yeah.
Well, okay, tell us, how do you measure success on something like this? And given that measurement, how did you stack up?
Well, for me, you know, just getting developers aware would be a success, but I'll point to some very concrete things. So first of all, we had events, one in Boston, two in Los Angeles, one in San Diego, one in Washington, one in Wales, UK, three in Australia. The Mumbai government made it a full-day semi-governmental event.
Wow.
One in Bangalore and one in Toronto. And if that's not enough, Stephen Fry called us out, and it blew up on Twitter.
Wow, that's incredible.
Yeah. And it even made my hometown paper, which I don't know. It's like it was in all over Canada, but when I heard that my hometown had it, I'm like, wow, it's like, you know, people you grew up with would be reading the paper. It's just like just so unexpected. But more importantly, it really made a difference. So let me add one other thing before I describe the event. So basically the semantic web has been looking for a long time for like use cases of why it's important to make a semantic web where computers can talk to each other. And a lot of people don't quite get the semantic web. A lot of people think it's just about CSS. And basically, by engaging the semantic web community, they kind of realized that this is a perfect example of where the semantic web would work great, because the idea is that two computers can speak to each other and understand the content. And that's something that you really need if you're using special devices to access a web page. And so now it looks like we're going to have some event at Semtech discussing this. The semantic web community is starting to discuss it, and one of the big leaders created an accessibility talk. He's going to be speaking. He's a great speaker, Brian Sletten. And so that's like one aspect of it. What else did I want to say? And at ZenCon, they might be willing to do an accessibility talk as well. But
awesome.
Yeah. But more importantly, what I kind of expected would happen was developers, like, we can talk about it, the two of us here, you can read an article about it, but until you don't see somebody that tries to, let's say, read an article in the New York Times, and for us, or let's say you take CNN, you know, there's a tons of headlines all over CNN, and for us, we just, you know, we'll just grab an article that interests us, we'll see it instantly. But if you're using a screen reader, you basically are listening to all the headlines, and you have to navigate that, and it's very difficult. And as a developer or a designer, until you don't see somebody, like, you know, spending 20 minutes trying to find an article, you don't quite get that what you're doing is hurting people, and that you really need to just give it a few more extra minutes when you're building a web page or building a framework or like setting up your site. And all of a sudden you open an entire world for people that have to browse in a way that's different to you. So I had developers come up to me, and I knew this would happen, that they were just blown away by it. And the reaction has just been overwhelming.
That's incredible. Now, you say you had events in all these cities, and I'm sure you attended the ones in Los Angeles. Tell us what went on at these events. Were these just talks? Were they, you know, the hands-on labs? What did you guys do at these events?
I don't even know all the details in all of them. There was just so much of it, and I was so busy myself. But in LA, there was a fellow who basically was what inspired me to write the blog post. He was a Yahoo employee, Victor Tsarin, and he had done this video on YouTube, which like exposed me to the screen reader in the first place. So he did a bit of a talk. A friend of mine who's a programmer who uses like the Zoom features, because he doesn't see that well. I think it's peripheral vision. He doesn't see that well, so he has to zoom everything up. He did a small presentation, and Todd Klutz, who's an accessibility expert, did a little talk. But in other places, they had all kind of events. Mumbai, they just put a whole workshop together. They were in San Diego. They did a Skype talk. All kind of different events. And then we separately encouraged people to spend 1 hour browsing their website mouseless, just to see how difficult it is to navigate when you don't have a mouse. Because, for example, if you're blind, you cannot use the mouse. You cannot use the screen. You've just got something that's talking to you. And so people were encouraged to do that and then blog about it. So we got quite a lot of people blogging it, and just, like, blown away by it. And the added benefit, of course, as well, is if you can make your site semantic and visible to screen readers and accessibility devices, you're also making it easier to your SEO improves, because then a machine like Googlebot will be able to understand your site much better. So it's really win-win.
That is really cool. It's a great project. We'll throw a link to your original blog post in the show notes so that people can get more information. Now, are you going to do this every year? Is this an annual thing, or was this just a one-shot deal?
No, it's going to be every year for sure. And we didn't have any time this time, but next year, I mean, it's going to be unbelievable. Jennison is talking about starting a foundation. And I just wrote a blog post today in anticipation of our chat, where I was saying that it really inspired me to kind of make this a mission. And from now on, every single first of all, I'm encouraging the accessibility community to do little videos. So let's say Gmail changes something, which I think one of our presenters actually presented this. They change a tiny little detail, and it just totally messes things up for people using a screen reader. So I'm encouraging them to make like 5-minute videos every time there's a major site has some kind of effect on their daily routine. And then before every single developer meetup, I'm going to have the first speaker just do this 5-minute YouTube video, because it's not enough to have one day. This really needs to be like you're going to pop up IE when you're developing a site. You should pop up, you know, some accessibility tool that will check that your site, you know, is available to a screen reader and similar devices. And I think that, and then encourage other meetups to do the same, because if we start to make this a routine, it'll be in people's minds in a totally different way. And then hopefully we won't need a Global Accessibility Awareness Day. It'll just make the web better.
Now, do either of your blog posts link to tools that developers can use to test their sites?
Yeah, I mean, we have like a whole GAD site that we just threw together pretty quickly, and it has a bunch of links. I'll definitely share that with you.
Okay, yeah, we'll throw a link to the GAD site into the show notes as well.
Yeah.
Hey, let's take a break here real quick. We need to talk about our sponsor, EngineYard. EngineYard and, of course, their PHP product, Orchestra, is a cloud-based hosting solution. Now, their website says they are a platform as a service, and I'm doing the whole quotey fingers there because we all know that's marketing speak, but let's cut through the marketing crap and let's just say what it really is. They make it dead simple to deploy applications into production. If you've got an application you want written in PHP or Ruby and you want it in production, Orchestra and EngineYard is where you need to look at. You simply attach your Git or SVN repo to your account, tag it, push it into production. I mean, it automatically gets pulled live. You can't get any simpler than that. They manage everything for you. You never have to worry about patching Apache or do you have the best version of MySQL. Matter of fact, there was a recent problem with PHP CGI where the core group had to release a patch, and EngineYard came out and said, look, we're not affected by this. We've already taken care of it. Don't worry about your Orchestra site is fine. But they manage everything for you. You don't have to do anything except connect to the server and get ready to push your application live. You get to do what you do best, which is create awesome code. So if you've not taken a chance to look at Orchestra, visit their website, engineyard.com/orchestra, and check it out. Sign up for their free service and host one of your pet projects there. You get a taste of the power of or flexibility of Orchestra, and you don't have to invest a dime. So check it out, Orchestra today. Check out Orchestra today at engineyard.com/orchestra. Okay, Joe. Question number two. Different.
Hey, before you go to question two, can I just add one more thing, if you don't mind?
Sure.
Okay, I just wanted to do a shout-out to Yahoo. They're getting so much bad press, but they were, like, really put a lot behind the Global Accessibility Awareness Day.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, I mean, Dan Malka at Yahoo and the whole group, they flew in two speakers. They provided a spot for us. We had 100 people show up, and they sponsored the food, the whole deal. They're really, you know, believe in accessibility. They always have, and they do deserve some good press for that, so...
Well, that was very nice of them. Thank you, Yahoo, and all the Yahoo employees from all of us for participating in that. Okay, and sorry I cut you off there. I didn't realize I had cut you off. Okay, question number two.
Yes.
You are on the selection committee for ZenCon, and you, I believe, were on the selection committee last year, which means last year you probably got a lot of bribes, and this year, since the call for papers is closed, I know they're just starting to roll in now, aren't they? But anyhow, since you've done this for a bit, and everybody is always curious, you know, what's it take to get accepted and all this kind of stuff. And the bribe thing is a total joke, people. Don't send bribes. We don't really take bribes. But since you've done this before, you've been on the committee before, tell us the fun parts. What's the good part about doing this? And then tell us what's the not-so-fun part about selecting talks for a conference.
Well, the fun part is that basically you don't have to pay for any drinks because all the people bribing you like cover all your drinks. So that's awesome. No, but seriously, it's a wonderful experience. I mean, I'm passionate about meetups. That's why I'm involved in so many of them, and passionate about people having a craft in the way that they present topics. You know, if you are an awesome programmer, but you can't speak to people, people don't realize how great you are. But if you are able to communicate that and teach people, it's just amazing. So I love being surrounded by great speakers and always being exposed to the latest, coolest thing. And so getting to look at all of these talks is just amazing. And then, you know, when you actually go to ZenCon, of course, you know, you're gonna meet and chat with the speakers, and it's really fantastic. On the downside, you know, it's kind of funny. I wrote a post about this last year. You know, some people will give you a lot of grief, or let's say give the real end people who have to make the choices. I mean, we just give our votes, but Kevin has to make the final decision. Kevin Schroeder. And basically, you know, they will say, hey, you know, I have this great talk. How come I wasn't accepted? They give you when they actually write the talk, like they'll make spelling mistakes. They'll give you one liners and then they'll be shocked that they didn't get accepted. You're like,
really? You've been reading my talk synopsis again.
Well, no. No, but seriously, it's just some of the stuff you're like, really? I mean, it's just totally unprofessional. I mean, you really have to, like, convey the message. If you cannot communicate a blur properly, how are you going to communicate a full talk? You know, this is you know, to get yourself accepted. But, yeah, I mean, it's a wonderful experience.
Okay, let me ask you, because this came up on Twitter recently. Did they give you any specific criteria? We're looking for this, or we're looking for, you know, sure, whatever. Did they tell you what to look for, or did you just look through them and start voting?
No, they kind of gave us some direction, basically on the kind of talks. I mean, how the whole thing is structured, and then the kind of talks. But nothing like really out of the ordinary. If you go to the site, you basically see what the tracks are. You gotta kind of make sure that it fits the tracks. You know, it's a PHP conference, so, you know, make sure that it's, you know, relevant. And if you've got, let's say, the same talk has happened over and over again, and you have, for example, PHP Unit, if you're going to go up against Sebastian and do a PHP Unit talk, and Sebastian, you know, wants to speak at ZenCon about the latest, you know, PHP Unit, you're not going to beat him. You know, how are you going to beat him? It's a no-brainer. Come up with something new. Come up with okay, you know, you've built this really cool thing that nobody has seen before. Teach somebody something new.
That's a good point. I know for tech, I've been on the committee for tech for 3 years now, and have done ZenCon and, of course, DPC as well. And I'm one of the things I really look for is also new talent. You know, we always this was the discussion that we were having on Twitter. It seems like, and I don't think this is true, but it seems like there's the same people at every PHP conference. And I think what people just see so many of them that they lump them all together and say, you know, oh, Sebastian's been selected because he's always selected. Well, no, that's not true. Sebastian's not always selected, but when he is selected, he knocks it out of the park, and that's the reason people, you know, that's the reason you go with people like him or Derek Rietens or you know, Liz Nairmore, because you know what you're getting.
Sure.
But you always also look for that new talent. A tech,
hey, right? We've got. How about having somebody write something as awesome as Xdebug for the community? You know, you'll be all over the place.
Oh, yeah, you know. we had one, and we've got several new speakers at tech. I'm proud to say that I think we got like 30% speakers that have never been at tech before. One of them is my buddy Luke Stokes with FoxyCart.com, and Luke was one of those. You said something very interesting. You said, you know, you've got to be able to present. And, you know, Luke was one of those. He and I hang out together, and I just knowing him, I was like, this guy can really talk to developers. And so I encouraged him to submit, and not only did he submit, but he wrote his talk early, and he did it for the Nashville PHP User Group last month, month before last. And, I walked out of there going, dang, you know, I'm not sure I should be in the same room as him. You know, this guy's just, he knows his stuff. And his talk was on REST. And it's going to be an awesome talk. I've encouraged him to submit it to ZenCon because I think it is so good that he really should try to shop it around. But, you know, it's one of those things. I agree with you. The bad part is dealing with the, I'm sorry you didn't get accepted.
Yeah.
You know, that's it's one of those things.
You've got, I don't remember what the percentages are, but probably like 3 out of 4 talks have to be, you know, rejected because there's just so many great talks. So
this year at Tech, we had 8 talks for every slot. So, and I'm sure ZenCon has that percentage or better, and we'll have that again this year. But, and this is something that I wanted to write a blog post on. Just because you don't get accepted does not mean the idea does not have value. You still need to, you know, run with that idea, write a blog post on it, talk at your local user group, speak on it there. Contact Beth at PHP Architect. Man, Beth loves it when people write these talks and for some reason they don't get accepted. She goes to the people that submit to tech that don't get accepted and writes each one of them and says, I want you to write for the magazine. Come talk to us.
Well, so, now you're going to get her upset at me because I owe her an article or two.
Oh, yeah. And Beth, if you do actually get an email from Beth and commit to one, I'm telling everybody else because Joe already knows this, Beth is relentless, okay? Sweet as can be, but she will hunt you down if you commit to an article.
Yeah.
So anyhow, just because you don't get accepted doesn't mean the idea is no good.
Right.
Keep refining it. Keep shopping it around, and keep trying.
This is key, and we've talked about this before, like on blog, on Twitter. You got to build your rep. You got to build your speaking ability. Like go to one meetup after the other and do talks. Improve your craft. Go to Toastmasters because that's where you really learn how to speak well.
Yeah, and when you go do these talks. Go to Joined In, set it up on Joined In, and put your talk in there and have people rate you, have people give you feedback. I don't really care if you got 5 stars or 4 stars or 3 stars. What I want to do is read the feedback that other people gave you at these talks. That's going to help me as somebody on the selection committee pick and decide.
Of course.
Because if I don't know you, feedback is the best thing I can get.
Yeah, that's the first thing we do. We Google you. Let's see your blog. Let's see your Twitter. Let's see your Joined In. Let's see if you're turning up at the meetups and what the reaction is. It's a key part of it. It's not only your abstract.
Yeah, to me, it's much more important that you be on Joined In and you have feedback than it is that you've spoken at 3 other conferences, Yeah, okay, great. Somebody else selected you. I want to know how you did.
Absolutely.
So, okay, let's move on. Third question. You're now out on your own. So I want you to, first of all, tell us what you're doing, okay, and feel free to pimp your website and give us your URL and everything. And then secondly, what advice do you have for anybody about to go out on their own?
Okay. Well, I mean, it's just like a couple of weeks now, and so don't even go to the website yet. But if you wait a few days, we'll be ready. Startupdevs.com. And the idea is, we focus on building prototypes for startups who have seed funding, but they need to attract developers. They need to get more funding, which also helps attract developers. And so we're just going to get them to that prototype stage. And for us, it'll be a win if you stop using us, you got the prototype. The prototype got you more money, got you a development team, and you fire us. That we consider a success. So that's the elevator pitch in a nutshell. As far as the piece of advice, well, something I learned a long time ago from a book called Confessions of an SOB, which was the CEO of USA Today.
Al Neuwirth. I got that
book. Right. Yep, that's right.
Yeah,
that's right. And, it was a long time ago, but I never forgot this. He was basically saying when he started in USA Today, he knew that he had to take a vote from the board of directors. And he knew that he would have maybe 2 people saying yes, but 10 saying no. And so he just started to work on it and work on it and work on it. And he would regularly kind of poll the people on the board until he knew who would say yes. And when he had 10 out of the 12, then he took a vote. And two of the people were his enemies and would always say no. But because the other 10 said yes, those 2 came along for the ride. And what I really learned from that is it's all about timing. So it's not, yes, you need the guts to go out on your own. You need to have a good plan. You need to have a good idea. But the real thing is to prepare the terrain. If you are starting out on your own, but you already know that you've got customers before you start, which was basically the case for us,
mm-hmm.
You're going to do well. I don't have a URL, but I have customers, and I don't have time really to build the website because I don't, I'm working. You know what I mean?
That's a good problem to have, dude.
Exactly. So it's really about timing and preparing yourself. You have to be prepared. So if you've got everything lined up, then you'll start up and it'll be, oh, wow, an overnight success. But really, it rarely is. There's usually a lot of work that went into these overnight successes.
Yeah, overnight successes usually take 15 years to properly build. Exactly. But then when they explode, they're an overnight success. Anyhow, Joe, thank you for your time. The one question I ask everybody, what's your local user group and what's the URL?
LAPHP.org.
Okay, and when do y'all meet?
We're in LA, so because we're near the Bay Area, we do not have one specific date. If you're going to pop by the Bay Area, you're going to do a talk, just, you know, drop us a line and we'll usually be able to accommodate you. There's no point to like set a date and then lose these great speakers.
Yep. Okay. Well, Joe, I want to thank you for taking the time to be with us. Congratulations on the success for Global Accessibility Awareness Day. It's a fantastic project, and I'm looking forward to all the great things that you're going to do with that. But, you know, as far as the PHP community goes, thanks for all your work on LAPHP, and thanks for everything that you do for the PHP community.
Thank you, Cal.
Thanks for listening to Voices of the Elephant. Voices of the Elephant is copyright EICC Incorporated and released under a Creative Commons Attribution, No Derivatives, Share and Share Alike license. To nominate someone to be a guest on Voices of the Elephant, visit our website and click on the nominate link. The URL is voicesoftheelephant.com. Elephant is, of course, spelled E-L-E-P-H-P-A-N-T.
Engine Yard is a proud supporter of the Voices of the Elephant podcast. We're a leader in cloud-based platform as a service, and you may have heard of our Orchestra PHP platform, which is designed to let you focus on writing awesome PHP apps. Basically, we save you time and money and keep your app up and running for you. For more information, you can hang out with us on IRC at Pound Orchestra on Freenode, or for more information, you can also go to our website at engineyard.com/products/orchestra.